Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. All right, hello friends, how are you? This is an exciting one, everybody. As you can already tell, this is Danny Morrell, your host, every single week on the Real Estate Sales Show. And I say this is an exciting one because this is a guy that I've been working on, and I think he's even been working on getting on this show now since the show first started. Like literally when I first thought of the idea of hosting this type of podcast, you know, the intention was clearly just to help all of you out in real estate land, right? To get better, right? To get better at your thoughts, to get better at your skills, to get better at your time management, get better at the development of your teams. And when I thought about all of the things that I wanted to accomplish in this show, one of the first people I thought of was my great friend that I'd like to introduce to you today, Mr. Jeff Quinton from Ocean City, New Jersey. Say hello, Jeff, please.
Hey, Danny. I'm very honored and fortunate and grateful to have you as a friend and be part of this podcast. So thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. So, by the way, is it Ocean City or Oceanside? I always get those two confused.
City. You got it right.
Okay. Yep. All right. So let's start.
It's the real OC.
It's the real OC. There you go. And I've even been there.
That's right. You have.
I actually pulled up to your house. I will never forget this, guys. Yeah. This is, you know, kind of when I was doing well in real estate, and yet my standards hadn't been upgraded in every area of my life just yet. So I was in New York City for a while, and then I show up and I say, hey, Jeff, I want to come visit you. Ocean City's about 3 hours away. I rented, what the heck was it?
I don't know, minivan or something. I don't even know what that hoopty was or something.
It was. Here I am, this young single guy showing up in this hoopty minivan to Jeff's house. Yeah. He practically didn't even let me park it in his house. That's a long story. That was a long time.
That's great, though. We had a good time.
Good times, man. Good times. So, Jeff, let's start with the beginning. I know your story, but let's share it with everyone because we have a diverse audience and, you know, people just getting started in the business. People have been in the business a long time. Let's start with this. How did you first get involved in real estate sales?
So, for me, it started right out of high school. I was working in high school. And I got a job at a bank, and I had a job at the local bank here, working from 3 to 6. I got a job in the loan department upstairs, and I had to go home from school, go and put a tie on and dress up a little bit more than what my school outfit was. Go to the bank upstairs, 3 to 6, filing I don't know, all kinds of documents and following up on loan docs and just clerical type of work. Okay. And so in that process, I learned a little bit about loans. Second part is after graduating high school, I knew that I didn't want to go to college, and it was just one of the things I wanted to get in business for myself. So I never went to college. I stayed at the bank, and next opportunity came along. The bank was the full-time position in the loan department, which I went full-time, and it was upstairs and out, you know, just in a regular cubicle type office, right. Not in the public's view. And I got kind of claustrophobic in my personality, like yours. We need to be out and communicating. So the drive-through teller position came up, and back then the drive-through was hot. I mean, that's where people went on Friday nights to pay, you know, cash your paychecks. The online banking wasn't what it is today. And it was it allowed me to, I got the job. I still was paid. I'm getting paid at the better pay rate above, like, the executives upstairs, which, you know, it's just whatever it was, $10 an hour back then. Who knows what it was?
Right.
But whatever it was still a good pay rate. But I was able to be in front of the public. So what was cool was I got to really meet a lot of real estate agents in town, the brokers, the managers, and then more importantly, I got to see their commission checks. So at the end of the week, I saw my commission check, and then my paycheck. And then I saw their commission checks. And these guys were young dudes coming through, driving Porsches with surfboards on top, Benzes, the whole deal. And I was like, you know what? Real estate is something I really want to enjoy. I enjoy already and want to get into. So basically, I went to school at night, got a real estate license, and then right out after about a year out of high school, jumped into it full tilt, full time. That was in 1992. So here we sit 24 years later. And still cranking.
So, and 24 years later, I'm just going to fast forward. How many transactions will you close this year, and what will your commissions earned be, your GCI?
Yeah, so this year we're going to be somewhere just around 200 transactions closed, about $2 million or so,
okay.
Total GCI. And my team and I, we've been producing at this type of level, 175, 200 transactions on and off, probably the last 15, 16 years, since 2000, let's say.
Right.
And then in the 04, 05 markets, we really bumped up a little bit. And then the average sales price obviously was higher and our markets slid back much from the peak. It still is there, but ultimately, myself and as a team grew, we've sold over 4,000 homes since 1992. And so it's been very consistent.
Awesome. I love that. And this is why I bring that up. Because, as a result of the work that I am now doing, not only growing the brokerage, but also, spreading our message throughout the country, really. I get people that hit me up from all over the place, Jeff, from Florida, from New York, from Chicago, from Nebraska, from Oklahoma City, from Texas. And there's so many people that ask, how did you do it? And they ask some questions that I want to ask you if you agree. Essentially, the answer to that is the following. You weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You were essentially a teller at a bank. And here you are now earning $2+ million a year. Would you agree that the foundational piece to all of that is you've got to know, number one, what you want, and number two, the price you're willing to pay to get it? Would you agree with those two?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a critical part is knowing what you want and are you willing to go get it? Are you willing to have that burning desire inside of having the desire, number one, knowing what that desire is, and then two, willing to pay the price, go out every day, grind it without a doubt,
right?
And figure it out and learn the scripts, learn the skills, learn what to say, learn the mindset, which we can get into. But it's all of that. It's not overnight. Look, I'm not an overnight success, neither are you. I think that there's a lot of perception out there, and people see that, unfortunately, that they only look at the result. They don't actually see, what's happened behind it all of these years. Like Tony Robbins says, and I love the quote, is, what you practice in private is how you get paid in public.
Right.
No one ever sees the private. So there's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes to reveal the success that you and I've had.
Absolutely. And Jeff, I want to bring up a word that you just mentioned. And by the way, I'm going to grab my notepad because I can tell some good stuff is coming here. But I want to mention the fact that you mentioned the burning desire. It wasn't the tickling desire. It wasn't the fun desire. There's got to be some sort of burning desire to succeed and to succeed at a very high level. And if you don't mind sharing with everyone, I think at the beginning it might have been young kid wanting material things desires, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right,
yeah.
And now that's evolved. And share with everybody how important it is to have clarity within that burning desire, whatever the case may be, whatever it may be in and of itself.
Yeah, I think that the clarity is the key. I mean, certainly you can get by, I think, for a certain period of time by just being motivated, having a desire to have those, cosmetic things or you want a newer car or nicer clothes and all that. And that's great, which I still do to this day. I always want to. Like you, I always want new stuff all the time. But after a while, it's okay, start achieving those things. You're like, okay, so what's next? What's next? Where am I going here? And start thinking bigger. So I think it's having that clarity on the vision. What's that vision look like for you? 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, go all the way out. We're all going to live to be 100 now. You know what I mean? So looking at now, I mean, I can't believe I say this, I'm 43 years old. I mean, I feel like I'm 23 still, but ultimately, okay, so I'm not even halfway through.
No.
And so what's 50 years out look like from now? What's that? And knowing and start looking and visualizing, seeing, what does life look like? So that's a desire that I'm playing that game right now, is trying to figure out and looking, okay, what's that look like for me? What's my grandchildren look like? And what's their kids look like? Because I mean, they actually I might be around to see both of them.
Jeff, it's so funny you bring this up. I was on a coaching call yesterday with some of the agents that we work with. And unfortunately, one of them admitted that they hadn't opened any sales in 6 months. And I just don't know how that is possible. No, I do know how that's possible. It's the outcome of not being clear with what you want, and it's the outcome of not having a burning desire to get it and get it now.
Sure.
And the other thing, Jeff, is I want to ask you about one word, being competitive. Yes. I'm reading a book, Relentless, right now. With for our listeners, if you haven't read that book, you should get it as soon as possible, by Timothy Grover. He was the trainer for Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, all that good stuff. And he mentions that it's okay to let your dark side come out.
Sure.
And have you read it yet, or have you listened to it yet?
I haven't, but I heard you mention in one of your other podcasts, you talk about in the very first chapter, very first sentence, something like that, was just intriguing to you, and you're like, wow, but I want to get that book now, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I'm bringing this up, Jeff, because he mentions the dark side, or the side that says, you know what, I'm going to win at all costs, I don't care who gets in my way, I'm going to go after it. Mm-hmm. And I think that for a lot of high-performing people, as yourself, you know, there is that dark side, there is that competitiveness. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. And I would say, no, I don't lose and I don't quit. So it's one of those things internally. And I'm not so sure that, you know, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not. I'm not so sure you can teach it. I don't know if you can teach competitiveness. You know, it's just like, I don't know if you can teach hustle. It's either you have it or you don't, or you can learn it. I think you can learn the qualities, characteristics of competitiveness or what it may be. But it comes, I think, back around again to that burning desire, what it is that you want. Because if it's something that you want and you want it bad enough, you'll figure out a way, which then causes you to be competitive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So give me an idea, because I know, and guys, you know, I can tell we're going to have a lot of fun on this conversation. But I know for myself at the beginning, it was, man, you know, nobody in my family had ever earned at that time more than, I don't know, $80,000 a year or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
I think even that might have been a little high. So for me, I just wanted to experience having a new car, having a new home, being able to wear a new suit, whatever the case may be. Now it's way different now, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And I try to challenge people. If you're just getting started, let's start with the basics. Where in your life are you not experiencing abundance, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
Jeff, help me with this and help me share this to our listeners, specifically to our newer people. And don't worry, for our veterans, we're going to help you as well. But where would they start if they are trying to find something that they need to kind of go after? Where would you start and where did you start?
So, you know, I guess going all the way back to the beginning, one is I looked at my life and I wasn't going to college. I didn't have the, like you said, silver spoon. My mom, dad, you know, at the time when I got right out of high school, they were going separate ways after 30 some years of marriage, unfortunately. And you know, I didn't come from money. So like my mom, for example, she retired about 6-7 years ago now. Maybe it's been 7-8. She was the lunch lady at our high school. Mm-hmm. And she was making like $14 an hour when she actually retired. And so I didn't, that's the type of, you know, very blue collar, you know, from where my mom and dad come from. So where I grew up. So looking at that, I said, you know what, to me, and some of the things that motivated me through it is I've just become a reaction to what my parents were. I've said to myself, I don't want to live the life that I had growing up. And I'm not saying I had a bad life by any means. It was, you know, it wasn't lower class or higher class, middle class, whatever. We had good years, bad years. We had different businesses we were involved in. But I think that overall, it was just like, you know what, I'm going to create something bigger for me. And then I sat down and I said, okay, I was always goal driven.
Right.
So I always looked at goals and I would, you know, well, I remember saying to myself, okay, by age 30, I wanted to earn 30,000. It was kind of like, you know, and it's like, that was just what it was. Okay. How do I, cause I think at the time it was probably 19 and I was making maybe 19,000 at the bank or whatever
right.
it was. And then I said, okay, well maybe by 30, I can make 30,000. I remember that mindset I had or something I had put there. And then, you know, lo and behold, I mean, by 30 or 28, I was already making $1 million a year, you know,
yeah.
So it's pretty incredible. But I think I went back from just getting clear on what it was I wanted. I think the old thing that I used to do was what Mike has always taught us is places you want to go, things I want to have, things I want to do. And just, I think as someone starting out, those three things, and I say this to my team all the time, you know, let's take a look at, just identify 5 in each category, places you want to go, things you want to have, things you want to do, 5 in each one of those. Get clear about it. Go in your magazines, go in the books, go online, print out, let's build a dream board, have it in front of you so that those days are dark. You know, when it's those days you're not feeling motivated, you can turn to your dream board, you can see, wow, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. These are the goals I have. This is what I want to achieve. And it's in front of you. It's a constant reminder. In addition, you create around you other people that will support those goals and dreams
right.
in your team or whoever it is at home. Share it with the world and that will help you achieve and remind you. So I think starting out is something of that basic, just getting clear on some of those things that you want to do.
It's so funny you mentioned this, Jeff, but you know, people always ask me today, you know, how did you do it? How did you do it? And part of my story is that I surrounded myself with people like you because I remember you hit $1 million a year. I think it was at like 27 or 28. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
And at that time, I was like 23 or 24.
I remember,
and
yeah.
I remember hanging with you guys, and I remember saying, okay, you know, I'm so competitive that I would say, okay, if he did it by 28, I got to do it by 27.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those things, right? But I'm going to actually, and for those of our listeners that are listening to the podcast and can't see us on our YouTube channel, if you didn't know this, we actually have this on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/Danny Morrell. But this is my actual vision statement, Jeff, that I wrote out. And it says here, written by Danny Morrell, age 25, single, no children, February 1st, 2003. And not only did I write it out, mm-hmm. but I did exactly what you're saying. I cut out pictures.
Yeah.
You can see here a view. I want to go to Necker Island someday. Here's my jet that we'll be flying in to visit all of our offices, so forth and so on. And then at the back I wrote how I know I made it.
Yes.
And I wrote like a little checklist. And it's pretty crazy, man. Out of the 10 things on the checklist, I've accomplished like 5 of them already.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's pretty awesome. So for those of you that haven't done something like this, please make sure that you're writing out a vision statement. It's very, very important.
It's magical. It's not, you know, it's you get clarity on it and then you figure out what it is that you want. That typically will then throw your feet out of bed onto the floor each day.
Yeah.
And you guys, you know, the 430 crew, I mean, every one of you, if you didn't have that vision, if you don't have what you're doing, you're not going to get out of bed. You just aren't, simply. So when we have these guys, you know, talking about going to the gym in the morning and how, you know, having the whole miracle morning and doing all the things that get up early, those that aren't getting up early, it's just they don't have a burning desire for what they are. They have a desire, but their desire just isn't more than what they are. Maybe it's just complacency. And unfortunately, that's there's 99% of people are like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Jeff, I'm going to be a little selfish here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to like help you help my people.
Sure.
Which at the same time will help our listeners. All right.
Of course.
So I'm very big on and if you're, you know, one of our agents, please listen to this. I'm very big on explaining to our agents that there's a period of 2 to 3 years, sometimes even 4 years, where you've got to pay the price. You've got to master the scripts. You've got to internalize them. You've got to role play every single freaking day. And if you do that consistently for that period of time, that will build the momentum you need to, in the future, be able to leverage that in a very big way. So I guess my question is, when you first started getting going, how important were scripts? How important was role playing? How often did you do it? Were you fanatical about it? Did you just kind of, you know, kind of get by with it? What are your thoughts on that?
So two things, I guess. One is, you know, prior to year 2000, I got into business in 1992. So to say those first 8 years, I was very much, like most agents, I was very motivated. I always had motivation. I was very competitive. I knew kind of what I wanted, and I was in the grind. I was just out there working every day, but I was working 70, 80 hours a week. Again, single at the time, you know, going out late at night, partying, working hard, playing hard, doing the whole thing, making good money. And then ultimately, once I got, you know, engaged to my previous ex-wife, and then we got married at age 28 is when I got married. I started settling down, obviously, and then really took the business itself serious to know, okay, what's in it for me here long-term, and what needs to happen? So in the first 8 years, I didn't really practice. I'll tell you what, I called expires. Like, for example, my very first month, second month in the business was March or April of 1992. Back then, the MLS book was about an inch thick, only came out once a month. In the back of it was all the expireds. We didn't have the internet. You know, there's no online expireds.
Right.
The manager, we used to go to the board, be the first one in line to get the book. He'd come back. All the expireds would be in the back. We'd have to manually go out and look them up, you know, in the white pages or however we did. Found the phone numbers. And he sat me down and he said, okay, here's a script for expireds. This is a Sweat Hog script. Uh-huh. I remember from Sweat Hog Stew at the time, I think, was
what's his name?
Hopkins. Tom Hopkins, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, I believe that's who it was. So anyway, long story short, I would just get the script at the time, whatever it was, and read it off the thing, just like we did when we first started, and I would just call expires. I really didn't know much skill then, but I was just a grind with motivation, so I got through that. Advance up to, say, age 27, 28, when I got then at the point I got into one-on-one coaching with Mike, you know, then my whole entire business stuff, I took a 180-degree turn. I mean, the way I was going, the direction down the street this way, I turned completely around, went the other way, jumped in 2 feet in the deep end, became fully coachable, Totally all my habits, whatever I was doing before, I just threw it out the window, committed to $1,000 a month, which was a lot of money at the time. I was scared as hell. And so I learned the scripts and learned what to say, and I really immersed myself into it. So, I mean, you know, so those beginning years, I mean, I remember, and I tell my team today, like, I've been on them every single day. How many role play partners you have? What's going on? Well, I have three. Well, you need at least five. You need to role play every single day with a different person, not someone in the office, outside of the area, you know, not the person next to you. But I remember times I used to have two role play sessions. I used to have it accountability and role play at 5:30 in the morning, my time, East Coast, and then I would do it again later on at like 11:30 when it would be about 8:30 in the West Coast. So I used to get two people on the same day on two different time zones, and did that for years. And, you know, we wrote the scripts out, we chanted the scripts out, I recorded the scripts out. I still do that, you know, today. I record and do them, start playing for my team just to show them how it's done and the way, you know, the way we've learned them. So there was, I mean, again, still to this day, we're doing it.
Yeah.
So it never stops. And now in the beginning, it's leveraged me now. For example, yesterday I was on the phone calling expires through Mojo. And this is just an example. I have a new gal who just started, got licensed about a week ago. So she started last Monday. So she's going through all the training right now before she gets on the phone. I got to have her script certified. So she's been plugged in while I recorded to me, rest of us here. But yesterday she was plugged into me, listening to me. I'm calling expires through Mojo, jamming away. Seller comes on and, you know, I just go right through the script. When do you plan to interview the right agent for the job? You know, and they said immediately, we are interviewing two agents today. And so we're going to be making a decision shortly. So I was able to take a seller that already had two appointments for the day and go through the complete script, answer all the questions, repeat, mirror, match, the whole thing that we do. And basically set an appointment. I then gave it to my listing partner. He went out last night at 4:30, got the listing, got a $15,000 reduction. The other, only one other appointment was made. He was second in. The last one was later. I was able to get it in as a middle one and then cancel the last one.
Good.
In it. So I said to her this morning as she was listening, I said, by the way, David got that listing last night. And I said, that's as easy as it can be. It can be that simple in this business when you know what to say, how to say it,
yes. And
have the confidence, and you can convert a conversation within 5 minutes to an appointment.
Yes.
And then ultimately go to that appointment, spend an hour, and come back and have yourself a $10,000, $12,000 check.
Yeah.
It's absolutely that simple.
Really
However, that didn't happen overnight.
Right.
Didn't happen overnight.
Right.
It's years and years and years of practicing in private so you get paid big in public.
Public, right. Absolutely.
So it's that simple. Easy, but I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of hard work. You gotta put it, look, you can make $1 million in this business or more.
Simple.
Easily. It's not hard.
Easily. No. I say that all the time. I say that it is, I don't even believe that being a millionaire is that big of a deal anymore. I really don't. I'm at a point now in my head where if you're not a millionaire, you're not even in the game.
Right.
You're really not even in the game. You know what? I'm going to write that one down. That's going to be a quote because I think people really need to start thinking this way, Jeff. And the reality is I'm going to share a story similar to that because I think half the battle is people just don't freaking believe in what's possible in life. They just don't.
Yeah.
And the minute they're on the phones, if they hear any sort of negativity, any sort of doubt, any sort of I already have an appointment, they just kind of shut down and back off. And you have got to get clear with the fact that you are the best person for the job. I'm calling on the phones. A lady says to me, I'm sorry, but I already have an appointment scheduled for 12 o'clock. It was 9 in the morning. I finally got the contact. She said, well, the appointment hasn't shown up yet, right? She says, no, fantastic. I went through my script, right? I figured out a way around it. I showed up at 10:30 in the morning, and I got the listing by 11:15.
Perfect.
And I'm sharing this example with everybody, and I'm sharing Jeff's example with everybody to share with our listeners, people, you got to get out of the freaking way. I think we're living in this la-la land where we are so full of doubt, fear, worry, confusion, and you got to learn to replace those thoughts with abundant thoughts. Possibility thinking is what I like to say. I mean, would you agree with that, Jeff?
Oh, 100%, without a doubt. I mean, it's not only the possibility of what's possible thinking. It just, look, what happens is the ego gets in the way.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It just always shows up. You know what I mean? And if we can just get the ego out of the way, we're going to win.
Absolutely. Jeff, help me with this. One of my favorite sayings is, you know, your main job as in life and as specifically as a business person, because make no mistake about it, when you're in business, business is kind of life. It is the same thing.
Sure.
I like to teach everybody the fact that your main job is to figure out where your deficiencies are, attack them and fix them right away. Meaning, I hear people say all the time, oh, but I just don't know how to smile. Well, excuse the French, fucking learn how to smile as fast as possible. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or I'm not very friendly. Well, get friendly. Figure it
right.
out fast.
Right.
Like,
you
right
better
now.
Fake it. Fake it then.
Fake it. Fake like you're friendly. Oh, well, right. I'm not very positive. Well, son of a gun, just act positive. Oh,
right.
Well, I don't know what to say. Okay, well, sit there until it's done and memorize the damn script. I don't care if it takes you the whole year.
Yep.
But again, when you're that fired up about what you want to try to accomplish, there's no excuse. You just get the job done. Would
yep.
you agree? Or what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I agree, because like this example of this appointment yesterday, it's their motivation was high, so I figured that part out. Mm-hmm. She's a school teacher, and I don't know what she earns a year, whatever it may be, but it's a matter of there's two sales that were going to happen. Either a school teacher, let's just say she earns $50,000-$60,000 a year, is either going to sell me on why she's a better salesperson than I am, that I can't
right.
get the appointment, or I'm going to convince her that I'm the guy for the job, our team's the guy for the job, we're going to get this home sold, it's an expired, failed to sell with other agents before, we're going to step in, we're going to get the job done, and we're going to get her to her next destination.
Right.
And ultimately, it's convincing her and having that confidence and being able to deliver that. And so, you know, I say, you know, okay, so, you know, we as salespeople can earn $500,000-$800,000, $3 million, $5 million a year. And with a little effort, you know, by doing 25 transactions a year, you can make $100,000. So, and you learn those scripts, but you know, in life, people are always going to try to outsell you. It's a matter of how good are you to sell yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's about understanding the confidence that you have. So if you can fake the confidence, you're going to win.
Absolutely.
But you got to do it.
Okay. All right. So Jeff, let's kind of fast forward. You know, one of the big things that I try to teach both our listeners and the agents that we work with is the fact that database is so important.
Yes.
And you know, specifically, you know, when you close that transaction, that's not the end of the transaction. That's kind of like the beginning.
That's right.
And I know that you are very, very strong at your database, and you've been strong since day one. How many people do you have in your database right now?
So, so there are a couple things. One is I have a lot of people in my database. I have a lot of people that I know. There's a lot of people I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you some numbers on both. Okay? So inside my Infusionsoft account, which is a lot of our database, and this communicated through with email drip campaigns and triggers and so forth. I just had to pull out 38,000 from it, but I had just reached 100,000 in there, and I pulled 38,000 because I need to clean them out a little bit better. I gotta get them to opt in more. But I was able to put them in, but I just know the way it was done, it wasn't done right. So long story short, we have a very large database, and that's homeowners, buyers, past clients, center of influence, homeowners associations, you name it. I just got done an event that I hosted last week and sponsored it. We had about 500 people to the event. It was a jewelry store that actually sponsored it, or was the main sponsor. We partnered in with them. Me, my mortgage company, a car guy, a boat guy, landscape guy. Long story short, we invited all of our VIP clients to it. Out of this list, we mixed them together. I got 600 people just from that list
right.
sent to me. So now I got to get them into my system. So I would say I've got 100,000 just that they're working. But my normal, like, opted in, communicated to often, all the time, is about 30,000.
30,000.
You know? And I'm growing. My goal is that double that, which I've got it. I just got to – and when you're building these databases, you get – depends on what system you're using. You got to make sure that you bring them into the system the right way. Otherwise, the systems will shut you down from bounce rates and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a whole other strategy. But I'm very, very big. My team's very big on building a database, feeding that database, becoming a market expert. And you know, that's the key right now, guys. In my opinion, that's for the long term of your business. You want come list me calls. You want, you know, a lot of repeat business. That's easy referrals. Build a good database
yeah.
and make sure it's organized and feed it with good information. Become the expert to them.
And Jeff, why do you think it is that people, as much as we say to build a good database, don't do it? Why do you think it is?
You know, I don't know why. I would just say that they aren't thinking about it, aren't conscious about it. I mean, you know, the easiest thing, first of all, when we're speaking to somebody at my team, we're constantly, every single phone call, when we get off that call with that client, we're speaking to somebody, we're asking for the email address. They're going in our database. When someone calls my office and the gal is there, the receptionist, whomever it is, answers the phone on my team, when they say, hey, the call for Jeff, if it's Joe Smith, okay, hey, Joe, Jeff's out of the office at the moment. He'll be returning calls between 1 and 3. He's going to be calling you possibly from the road. What's the best number to reach you? And also, he may email you. What's your email address?
Always capture.
We're getting that right there. So now I got my staff out there trying to get it. Build the database.
Right.
So maybe it's just the systems and the thought behind it they're just not doing. Not thinking about long term.
Well, the future.
They're thinking about just, you know, database. Yeah. That's, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah, right now. I'm looking at feed the database, give it info, and communicate to it often, and then have them come back to us.
Yeah.
So, which has worked very, 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 very well. Now I'm really growing it much larger,
right,
with expansion offices and looking to go a lot bigger. So I'm building my, like that 38,000, that's the 38,000 I went out. It started out like 150,000. So I've gotten way down, opted in, but I've got them. It's good. It's a solid database. But these are marketplaces I've never gone to.
Awesome.
So these are markets where I'm going.
Yes.
So, you know, if an agent wants to expand in their market, let's say if they're in Rancho and they want to go to
Los Angeles.
Say LA, which may be 30 miles, 40 miles, I don't exactly
right.
know from you guys. But let's say a certain neighborhood there. Well, you can go get a database there and you start 6 months in advance prospecting that database, calling it. You can ultimately, right away, within 6 months to a year, penetrate listings and have inventory and bust in market share.
Right.
But
absolutely.
You got to build the database.
You got to build it. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Jeff, how many current people on your team right now?
So right now we're at, there's 3 admin. There's 8 total, including the new one. I just hired, which I'll count it as 9 now. I just hired yesterday an expansion agent partner in an office about 20 minutes away
okay.
off the island. So work along the island. This is the mainland agent who specifically wants to work in that area as a primary home market.
Got it.
So that will be our, I got 2 new agents. So let me give you the breakdown, okay?
Yeah.
Make sure I've got them still right. So I've got listing coordinator, closing coordinator, team assistant, which is my executive assistant. And then I've got Frank, who's been with me 12 years, a buyer's agent.
Got it.
David, my listing partner. Adam, who's an ISA, and then the 2 new agents. So that's 6. That's 8.
8
right there. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Fantastic.
And I have a virtual ISA too. I'm in the Philippines. So if you count her, but she's 40 hours a week. So, but she's not in the office.
Okay. And what does she do?
She prospects every day.
She does.
So she's required to make at least 40 minimum contacts a day. We just went through what we called in KW is a we're doing a bold 100. So. For the month of June, everyone on my team was required, not required, but all required, what we did, we committed to it, 100 contacts per day, per agent, every Monday, and then 40 contacts every day thereafter. So she was doing 100 contacts also in the Philippines to our database as well. We did that in June, we did that in April, and then May we're off, and then we did it in June. So we're planning to do that every other month.
I love it. One of our offices just did the same thing. It's today. They're all doing 100 contacts a day. So
yep.
I absolutely
yeah.
love it.
Yep.
Jeff, you know what's really cool is that I just posted a video on my Instagram account. By the way, if you're out there listening, go to instagram.com/Danny Morrell or on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Danny.Morrell.page. Like it, because I do a lot of live spontaneous training specifically on that page. But on Instagram alone, Jeff, we got several questions of realtors that kind of want to pick your brain. So do you mind if we take a look at these questions?
No, not at all. Be great.
All right, so here we go. Let me see here. So I'm on Instagram right now, and the first question came from Alan Fornice. I believe he's out of Newport Beach. He says, when you close 200 plus transactions, do you have a team or you're a one-man show? Definitely, you're a team. We just answered that one, so that's fantastic.
Yes.
Second question comes from Cuban Product. I don't know his name, but that's what he or she goes by on Instagram. What's the size of your territory for prospecting, and what type of leads do you focus on primarily?
So So geographically, I'm in Ocean City, New Jersey, so it's a lot of islands along the beach, a lot of the coast. So we've really expanded outside of this market, because this market's only where I live and work, where my office, my primary office is 7 miles long by 1 mile wide. Mm-hmm. So it's very small. Again, it's a resort town, second home market primarily. Only has 12,000 people live here year-round. Summer months like today, there'd be 75,000 to 100,000 people in town in July and August. It really packs it in. But again, you're talking about a marketplace that only does about 1,300 sides a year.
Right.
As a total, there's 19 offices, 500 agents, very competitive, small area. But I've gone and expanded out from, if you look at southern New Jersey, the bottom part of it from Atlantic City all the way down to Cape May, which is all the way to the bottom.
Okay.
So that's all on the coast there. So it's about a 30-35 mile spread, maybe 40 miles. And then I'll go inland, which I'll go maybe like 10 miles in or so, basically.
Okay.
So that whole entire area, it takes two counties. So, you know, we'll have listings in which is in Brigantine, which is right outside Atlantic City, all the way to Cape May. We've really gone outside. You know, we're primarily in Ocean City. We'll do, you know, let's say the 200 transactions, we'll do 120 in Ocean City, and then the other 80 will be spread out in all different other areas.
Yep.
As well, but that's because we have to do that because, you know, if I'm only doing 1300, you know, I've got 8, 9, 12 sometimes percent market share, which is amazing and huge in market share for just a team.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. We're doing more than companies that in town that have 75 to 100 agents. So
right.
What we realize is it's going to be tough for us to gain market share unless I go out and open an office or get larger agent count for my team. So otherwise, we've gone out and become extroverted and expanded through our markets. We're calling our past clients, center of influence each day. Expired listings, we still have in our marketplace. We have expired listings each day. Old expires, we hammer old expires.
Okay.
We do just solid calls, you know, circle prospecting around our listings. We have very low for sale by owners. I also work on development deals as well for flips, buy and development. Do a lot of development as well.
Yep.
So we concentrate on that. That's pretty much the main sources.
Awesome. I love it. We've got one from Mr. Robert Watkins. How many different sources do you rely on for generating listings, business, and what are they? I think you just explained that one.
Sure.
Emil Escher asks, what's your best lead tracking system?
Lead tracking system. So
you use Infusionsoft, right?
I use Infusionsoft that tracks click patterns for people, what they're doing, when they're kind of bubbling up through like a funnel, more or less.
Yeah.
Through that way. I use on the back end and dashboard of my buyer's more or less site, I use a Real Geek site. So that tracks all our leads through that, our dashboard there. So it allows us to see how often they're searching, what favorite property, which ones are favoriting, how often they're, what searches they're doing. And then we can look at their activity and their consumption through that. So Real Geek's website for the buyer's side. And then, we have also numbers trackers and things like that, too, to track numbers, you know, through, it's called CTE. It's called Committed to Excellence. It's a program through KW.
Got it.
Let's see what else. So that's pretty much it. I mean, we, you know, through Infusionsoft is most where we put our database in and communicate to them.
I love it. And then finally, this is from Chevy Riding High. Don't have the name, but that's his handle on Instagram. Almost done with my real estate classes. What's the best advice you have to get the ball rolling? Mine is joining Intero, of course.
Yeah, well, you got to go to Danny's office, of course. I mean, you know, here you got to understand, anybody getting in this business new that's in your neighborhood, around you, not even whatever it may be, you want to connect with Danny. You want to fly there. You want to move your rear there, whatever it may be. You're going to get the best training in the country. For someone who cares about you, it knows the business, and has a structure for that, for success. So Danny's the man. So that would be the first thing. So you're right on track there. Second thing is, first you've got to learn what to say. You've got to learn the scripts. You've got to learn the objections. That's number one. That is that you got to immerse yourself in understanding the sales language, the sales process. That would be the first part. And once you get that done, you got to build and understand time management. You've got to get a schedule. You've got to build your schedule around your goals. You know, you got to make sure that your day is minimum 75% in lead income generation activities, prospecting, the other, you know, 25% in servicing. You do all that, you stick to that, you'll make a fortune.
Yeah, I love it. Any final tips, or was that the one?
You know, It's been fun, man. I mean, it's the industry itself. It's been interesting the last 24 years for the new agents. Look, here's the deal. I mean, you either as a new agent today. Unfortunately, it's not like what it was when I started. When I started, there was floor time. There was people that actually called in on signs, and the sign calls actually came to the office. And if you were on floor time,
you could maybe get those signs,
right? It didn't go to listing agent. And today, the industry is all wrapped around a listing agent. If you dominate the inventory, you dominate the listing side, all of the buyers will come to you from your listings. All the calls that are coming in from the internet go right directly back to the listing agent. So either you have two options. One is you learn how to go fish, you learn how to go be productive and go find the business, or you can sit around and wait for it.
Yep.
The agents that are sitting around waiting for it and aren't taking the time to do it, you tell me, Dana, what's your percentage? 87, 90% of agents fail in the first year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're gonna be absolutely out of the business, or you can go buy it. Now, most agents today getting in, unless you've got a very large budget to go out and promote yourself with ways to go buy business, which most people don't. Maybe you buy it, but then you're buying it, and then you don't know how to convert it because you don't know what to say.
Right.
So, you know, to be successful today, the one tip I'm going to say, and this is for whether it be veteran agents or whatever, just go out and learn how to go fish.
Got it.
And go get them.
Awesome. I love it. Well, my friends, that was it. That was episode 24, I believe. I always get confused because there's been so many of them. But I think this one was one of my favorites. Because it got so intense and I got so passionate, I said a bad word for the first time. So
I love it. You got Jersey on us.
I did a little bit, right? I, when I said it, you were like, "Oh crap!" You know. But you know what, guys? I mean, that's just, yeah. I just don't understand how to not know what you want and not work your tail off to go get it. I don't know how to even think about existing from a place where in my heart, every single day of my life, I'm not thinking about that. So to me, it's a little confusing. And if you have a problem with that, you can start right there. Get clear with what you want. Don't worry about how big it is. Don't worry about how big the obstacle may be. Jeff Quinton, right here, one of our guests, was a teller at a bank and now is closing over 200 transactions a year. You can obviously tell from his energy that he is passionate, he is dedicated. He is consumed with the idea of being the best at what he is currently doing. But at the end of the day, guys, I really believe that if you want to become that, you can be that as well. And nothing is stopping you from that. So, Jeff, thank you, my friend, for joining us. I really appreciate your time. The time went by fast, but it was very enjoyable. And I'm sure our listeners learned a lot. If they want to find out more information about yourself, how do they do that? How do they get a hold of you?
So they can hit me up on Facebook at Jeff Quinton. They can email me, jeff@thequintongroup.com, and connect with me there. And if we need to have a call or pick my brain, pick your brain, role play, whatever it may be, we can get you set up. My team always needs role play partners too. So,
awesome.
You know, they're always working on their skills.
And spell Quinton just in case people might.
Sure. Quinton, Quintin, Quinton.
Fantastic. And for our listeners, make sure you go to iTunes right now and subscribe to the show. Or if you're an Android user, which, by the way, I always say, if you're an unfortunate Android user, and this week they got 10 million people that got a virus. Did you hear about that, Jeff?
No, I didn't hear about it. No.
Yeah. So anyways, switch over to the dark side. Come to Apple, right?
Yeah.
But go to Libsyn on Android and just download the show, subscribe to it. Give it, I believe it's a 6-star rating or above. And if you can, actually write a review, because it really helps us to get amazing guests like Jeff and future guests that we're going to have on the show. So guys, that is a wrap. Find me on Instagram. Find me on Facebook. Let's connect. And we'll see you next week for another great episode of the Real Estate Sales Show. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.